Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warning is explicit sexual content.
And I have a very nice Instagram message from Jason. Hi, ladies. I'm not sure how active you are on here, but I thought I would say hi. I don't know how many males listen to your podcast, but I do, and I love it. You lovely ladies are hilarious to listen to. I discovered your podcast while I was researching the genre after I realized my 20-year-old daughter has been reading these novels for a few years. As an avid reader myself, I try not to judge, and when I went looking for a podcast to learn about, I found you. I have been hooked ever since and love the reactions throughout each episode. I've even listened and read 4 novels in the genre: Lights Out and the 3 books from the Ruinous Love trilogy. Those are the books that appealed to me from your reviews.
Cute. What a choice.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks for the great podcast and for helping me understand the genre better. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Jason. First off, I love that so much that he was like, I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
A king.
Yeah. Most of the men that comment on our episodes are like, ew, you whore.
And this week we're telling Riley all about Brutal Prince by Sophie Lark. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it 4 stars, but I think Sophie Lark for me is just like an automatic, I'm going to like the book because I like the author.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I give it a 4 star as well. I loved this book. I don't know what it was missing. It was just missing something, but I loved it. It was so cutie.
I also gave it a 4 star. I liked it.
Hell yeah. It was cute. I loved it.
Yeah.
So the story opens up in Ada Gallo's point of view. She's having dinner with her father and her 3 brothers. There's Dante, that's the oldest, Nero, and Sebastian, who's younger than her. And they're watching Nessa Griffin's birthday fireworks go off across the lake. Nero sarcastically says, how come we're not invited? And the family laughs because the Gallows and the Griffins have family beef, like their arch nemesis.
Yeah, I have one of those.
You have a nemesis, a family nemesis?
No, but I'd like to think I do. I don't know. Sounds fun.
Just a whole family that you hate?
Oh, I hate them.
The Smiths.
A new baby is born into that family. Oh, I hate that baby. They're a Smith.
While Dante and her father are busy talking about the family empire, she looks over to Sebastian and plots that they should definitely go over there. Sebastian's like, yeah, fuck it. Looks fun. Sounds fun. Let's go after dinner. They might not be on the guest list, but they're gangsters. They're like legit mobsters, part of the Italian mafia.
Oh.
Dante and Nero are fully in the family business, and Sebastian is like the basketball star. So he's not heavily involved because after school, he's going to go on to do big things like be in the NBA. And he's just a good man, Savannah.
He's a good man, Savannah.
While they're finishing up dinner, Ada's phone is nonstop buzzing, and it's her ex-boyfriend, Oliver. She broke up with him 3 months ago, and he's obsessed with her. Like, homeboy is not getting the hint, and Ada has a sassy mouth on her, and she's like, Oliver, seriously, if you do not leave me alone, I will literally have my brothers murder you.
And she will, because they're mobsters.
Yeah.
They sneak into the party by slipping the bouncer some cash, and we find out that Nessa isn't a bad person at all. She's a super cute, socialite, beautiful young lady, and her sister, Riona, is a fucking bitch. When they get to the house, Ada and her brother split up, and Ada decides that she's gotta pee, so it's a perfect time to start snooping around. The whole party is outside, and they even have fancy porta potties, so she decides to take a tray and a rag and pretend that she's a busser to gain entry into the house. She goes potty and then starts snooping. She goes from room to room until she reaches the library, and it immediately grabs her attention. She's drawn to a pocket watch on the fireplace mantle, and she's looking at it in her hand in awe when she hears the door click, and she dives behind the chair that's closest to the fireplace. It's Callum Griffin, and he walks in with a whiskey in his hand and takes a seat in the couch, and he looks like he's going to be here a while.
A man comes into the library, tall, brown hair, about 30 years old. He's wearing a perfectly tailored suit, and he's extremely well-groomed. Handsome, but in a stark sort of way, like he'd push you off a lifeboat if there weren't enough seats, or maybe even if you forgot to brush your teeth. Oh, so like he's a dick?
Yeah. Ada's literally getting sweated out by the fireplace because she's hiding right up against it behind the couch. So she decides to conjure up a plan to get herself out. She ends up taking the ends of the curtain and literally putting them inside the fireplace. And her plan was to just smoke herself out. But of course, it backfires and the entire curtain ends up engulfing in flames.
Girl, I'd be shitting.
It gives her hiding spot away pretty fast, and she had to pop up out of nowhere and run out of the room, not knowing if Callum saw her or not. She runs into her brother Nero at the bottom of the steps, clearly just gotten done hooking up with some girl, and tells him they gotta get the hell out of here. She takes one look up the stairs and she locks eyes with Callum.
He says, I saw you. Also, I would feel so bad if I just like lit a library on fire.
But it's her arch nemesis, so she's like, bitch, and then runs away.
I know, but like the books.
So we find out that Callum is 29 years old, and he's the oldest and the family legacy. Not only was this party for Nessa's 19th birthday, but it was also a big campaign to help him become alderman of the 43rd ward. The alderman is kind of like a step below the mayor. It's a huge position of power within the city, and it's kind of like the emperor of the city district that everyone would have to report to him.
Mm.
So he's a political man.
Yeah.
From Callum's point of view in the library, it was all peaceful until the fire. He saw a dark-haired girl dash out. He ran to get the fire extinguisher and was thankfully able to extinguish the fire before the whole thing burned down. Once it was out, he dashed out in time to see three people standing at the bottom of the stairs. A blonde-haired girl that he knew that was invited to the party, a brunette that he did not know, and Nero fucking Gallo. We get a little bit of a backstory. We find out that the war between the two families started over their great-grandparents fighting in the Prohibition over illegal distilleries, and the Griffins won, and the Griffins are basically the Irish mafia, and the Gallos are the Italian mafia. Now the Gallos mainly work in construction, but they always have conflicting interests within each other, and the families always fight, and many lives have been lost between the two families because of this long-standing feud. Callum goes back into the library to assess his now ruined favorite place of the house and notices that everything is as it was, except for that his great-grandfather's pocket watch from the mantle is missing. He finds one of Nessa's friends that he saw was talking to Sebastian earlier, and she tells him that she doesn't know who invited him, but she can ask him later because they're going to go to Dave and Buster's together with some friends tonight at 10.
Oh, Dave and Buster's.
He tells his friend and bodyguard Jack to come pick him up right away. As the siblings all leave the party, immediately Dante, the oldest, is like, what the heck did you just get up to? Ada tries playing it off and is like, what? Nothing. What murder?
What murder?
And she eventually tells him that she got caught snooping in the house by Callum. Dante grabs her hair and pulls her in close and smells the smoke on her and demands to know what she just did in that house. She gives him the rundown, and Dante's freaking out because he knows that Callum is very smart, and he's seen her, and he knows that the family's now involved in this fire.
Idiot.
When he asked Nero where the fuck he was, he had a pretty solid alibi.
I was on the main level, Nero says calmly, with Nora Albright. Her father owns the Fairmont in Millennium Park. He called me a greasy little criminal once, so I fucked his daughter in the Griffin's formal dining room. Sort of killed two birds with one stone in terms of revenge.
Nice. As they're driving home, Sebastian tells Nero he's got plans and to let him out. Dante tries to argue, but Sebastian's like, no, dude, you do not get to boss me around. You are not my daddy. Ada's like, wait a damn minute. He's got a point. Hold on. I'm coming. Then jumps out and rushes over to Sebastian, tagging along. As they're eating ice cream on the lake pier, while waiting for their friends to show up to Dave and Buster's, two men start walking up to them. It's Callum and Jake.
What are you doing here?
And Callum is pissed. He's like, you come into my house uninvited, you eat my food, you drink my alcohol, you break into my house, you try to burn it down, and then you steal from me?
The audacity.
I'm gonna kill you and your whole family.
He's just the godfather.
Except he's Irish. I don't know how to do an Irish accent.
Sebastian tried stepping in front of Ada to protect her, but Ada's a baddie and she steps out from behind her brother and tells Callum to, and I quote, fuck off to wherever he came from. He's not a gangster. He's just a bitch ass politician.
Yeah.
Callum says, yeah, I do have an image to protect, but look around, baby. There's no one around. And then he nods to his bodyguard friend Jake, and Jake launches himself at Sebastian and he goes to pound town on his face.
Pound?
Oh. Yeah, he starts fucking him in the face.
Ada manages to get one punch in on the man until she decides to focus her attention on Callum. She pops him in the jaw, but he shoves her back so hard she falls back, smacking her skull against the pier railing. Callum looks really shook that that just happened, but is determined to get his pocket watch back. And Jake is still going at Sebastian, and Callum is pretty much using Sebastian's beating to get what he wants, and it's driving Ada mad. So she takes out the pocket watch from her front pocket and says, oh, this watch? And then flings it into the water.
Yeah.
Callum dramatically screams, no! And then literally dives over the railing into the water after it.
My pocket watch, you bitch. His grandpa gave it to him.
You're right.
Why do you hate him? What has he done to you?
Nothing. I don't know. He's just a man.
Yeah.
His bestie bodyguard looks at Sebastian and then kicks Sebastian's knee in with his boot. And Sebastian's a basketball player, remember?
No more basketball for you, big boy.
Ada sees red as her brother's screaming in pain, and she charges after him, tackling him to the ground, and starts absolutely pummeling this man's face in. Like, she goes apeshit on this man.
I mean, yeah. But also, like, girl, this is all your fault.
Yeah. She's just a girl.
Yeah. Just a girl.
While he's still down, they're able to get up and like hobble away together and then get home. Callum is beyond pissed, and all he can think about is, even though the youngest Gallo is beautiful, she's the fucking devil. When he returned home, he was intercepted by his father and was forced to give a play-by-play of what just happened. Of course, his father is absolutely livid because, one, he just started a gang war in the middle of his election campaign, and two, he cannot believe that they crippled Sebastian because he's a huge star athlete, and this is a really, really huge deal.
Yeah.
Callum wants revenge, but his father said, enough is enough. I'm the head of the house and you will abide by my rules. His father's plan is to contact Enzo Gallo, who is their father, and try to repair the damage that has been done. While they're having this meeting, his dad says he's pretty much grounded, even though he's like a 30-year-old adult. He says, no speaking to anyone, no going anywhere, don't even fucking breathe.
And I bet he said, yes, daddy.
Well, because his dad said, if you disobey me, you lose my trust. And if you lose my trust, I will cut you out of my will.
Oh, yeah, I can't have that. I need that money.
Ada is racked with guilt. Sebastian is in the hospital with broken ribs and a knee that's needing surgery. And when she gets home, she's met with Dante and Nero. They're strapped up for war. There's bulletproof vests, ammos, guns. Like, they are getting ready to kill the entire Griffin family. As the men were about to leave, Dante gets a call from his dad. He hangs up the call and tells Nero to take the vest off. And then he tells Ada to go up and change into something presentable because they're about to have a meeting with the Griffins. They meet at a restaurant that's a neutral ground for both families. And this part made me laugh so hard. I love Ada. She is like the biggest balls. When they get there, Ada immediately notices that Callum is not there. So she looks at Callum's dad, Fergus, and she looks him dead in the eyes. And in a sweet voice, she goes, where's Callum? Did he drown?
Get him, girl.
The two head of houses have a meeting. And 3 hours later, the men come out of the meeting room and their father tells Nero to take his car back because he has to ride with Ada. On the car ride home, he drops the bomb that in 2 weeks' time, she is to marry Callum Griffin.
I knew it. Knew that.
This marriage is to basically assure that peace is kept, and he says that the feud has gone on too long. When Ada tries putting up a fight, her dad says, girl, you are the one that started this. You will be the one that finishes it. She is to marry Callum. She will bear his children. That is the agreement that they settled on, and she will uphold it. And she has to say yes.
She's gonna love it.
I don't know.
Two enemies in a room, they might kiss. Uh-huh. When Callum's father gets home and drops the bomb on him, let's just say Callum freaked out. His father's making valid point after valid point on this arranged marriage, but there's still one important one that Callum is the most worried about.
But who's going to protect me from my betrothed? That girl is a wild animal.
She's batshit crazy.
Yeah. I love it.
The next day, Ada got a text message from Imogen Griffin, who is Callum's mom, and it's about her engagement party that's set for the next week. and there's also a huge ass ring in a box. We get to the engagement party, and Ada is actually dressed up in a beautiful yellow scalloped dress. She usually doesn't wear very girly things. She's lived and grown up with men her whole life, pretty much, since her mother passed away when she was six, and she's just kind of created her own style. She goes to the bar to order her favorite drink, but is stopped by the bartender because he said, "We can't serve you that. Like, the groom is deathly allergic to strawberries. We're not serving it at all today." And she's like, "Interesting.
Good to know. Good to know."
I know.
They get introduced to a woman named Christina, and Ada is not vibing with her at all. Christina basically flirts with Callum in front of her face, even with Christina's husband right behind her. Her sarcastic comments just come right out, and it's very, like, kind of hostile, and the couple ends up walking away. Callum forcefully grabs her by the arm and drags her away, asking her what she is doing. Because I guess Christina is, like, a big benefactor to the campaign, and he was, like, trying to kiss their ass. But Ada's like, "I don't like that girl. She's fucking rude."
Oh my God.
After hashing it out, he still has a death grip on her, and she tells him if he does not let go of her arm, she will throw this drink in his face. And he reminds her the second that they get married, she's living under his roof and he's going to make her life a living hell. She smiles at him and quotes a line from The Art of War, but him not knowing where it's from, he's like, "So does that mean that you're going to try and make the best of this?" And she smiled sweetly and said, "Yeah, sure." But the line says, "In the midst of chaos, there is also opportunity."
She says, "I'm going to sneak strawberries into your food."
What a lame ass allergy.
I know.
As she now has some fuel for her fire, she settled down throughout the night, and Ada's a very smart girl. During a political conversation, once the person left, she easily connected the dots for Callum on how to get the board commissioner on his side, and he absolutely hated to admit it, but he was very impressed by her critical thinking. Because women can't have their own thoughts.
Oh, she's smart.
Ew.
Oliver, her annoying ex, starts walking towards them, and Callum knows him from college and does not like the guy at all. The whole time they were talking, Oliver was only looking at Ada the entire time, and it was pissing Callum off, and he literally had to step in front of Ada for Oliver to take his eyes off of her. I would have swung.
Like, if you were him?
Yeah. Even if I hated the person, like, that's so fucking rude. He was, like, trying to talk to Oliver, and he was still just staring at Ada the whole time, like, answering him.
Yeah, like, even though he doesn't like her, that's his bitch. That's his property. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. After the horrible tension from that conversation, Callum goes straight to his sister, Riona, to get the scoop. She tells him how Ada and Oliver dated for a year, and he was legitimately obsessed with her. Then she dumped him out of the blue, and no one knows why. He's hot, he's filthy fucking rich, and he was so in love with her. And Callum calls him an idiot, and Riona's like, "Oh, do I sense jealousy?" And he's like, "No!
No, no, no.
I hate her!" A couple weeks passed, and she picked out her wedding dress, and it's now the day before the wedding. Callum gets her a full spa service, and Ada is in heaven. That is until she's on the brink of sleep from her massage when suddenly she feels her pussy hairs being ripped out.
Wait, during your massage?
Yeah. Bitch, how did you not feel the hot wax going on down there?
She was on the brink of sleep.
I'm sorry. The way I would freak out.
Yeah, she does, girl. And she's like, "What the hell?" And the woman's like, "Relax. It's just your Brazilian." And she's like, "I did not order one. My bush.
My Italian bush." I get it. I'm a bush girl. I'm bushing all around town.
Same.
Unfortunately for her, half her pussy is now waxed, so she's got to see it through. She doesn't want half bush, half bald pussy, so she has to get rid of the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
She worked hard for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally. When you have a bush, you do. You maintain that.
All her hard work's gone. It's the day of the wedding, and we find out that Callum actually had a girlfriend, Charlotte.
Hey, it's me.
It was a short little romance, only for 3 months, but he had to break up with his girlfriend because he got a wife sprung up on him.
Dang it. Happens.
He goes to put on his tux, only it's not there. When he calls his housekeeper, she tells him the order was canceled when she went to go pick it up, and there was a box shipped to the house instead. On the top of the box, there's a letter from Ada telling him what a stimulating and unexpected experience yesterday was. She's returning the favor by bringing him a piece of her culture to wear for their special day. It's a 3-piece brown satin suit with embroidery on the shoulders, and it makes me think of Ron's dress robes from Harry Potter.
Yes. It's ugly as fuck.
Imogen comes in and asks why he's not ready for the ceremony yet, and he hands her the note, fuming. She reads it, and she tells him to put it on. As he does, he's thinking of Ada's punishment for this humiliating stunt.
I set my teeth, imagining taking out every one of my frustrations on Ada's tight little ass tonight. Oh.
They gotta consummate the marriage.
Wow. All right.
As they're about to get married, Callum is at the end of the altar, waiting for his bride. The doors open and she makes her way to him.
I see her smooth, tan skin and her clear gray eyes, heavily lashed. I have to admit, she looks beautiful. The reveal of her face drives home how lovely those features really are, when they're not screwed up in some demonic expression.
Even as the priest is doing this whole Catholic wedding, 2-hour-long ceremony, they're legit fighting under their breath the entire time.
Fuck you. No, fuck you.
As it's time to pronounce them husband and wife, Ada goes to give him a demure little kiss, but Callum grabs her, giving her a big old smooch to remind her that she now belongs to him. Only, as his tongue meets hers, he realizes that she tastes so sweet, like strawberries.
Mmm!
Callum spends the night in the ER, and Ada stays alone in their honeymoon suite. She orders room service, watches SVU, and has the time of her life.
Oh, nice.
I know. But the next day, she has to move into her new husband's house. When she gets there, Callum's mom is like, if you ever pull some shit like that again, I will kill you.
That's her son. That's her baby. I get it.
She brings Ada to Callum's room and tells her to get settled in. Callum is down relaxing by the pool. She heads down to the deck and he's just swimming laps like he didn't just go into anaphylaxis last night. And when she goes up to the edge, he grabs her wrist and pulls her ass in. He holds her underwater until she starts seeing spots and finally he lets her go. When she surfaces, he's like, yeah, that's how it feels to have your fucking air cut off. Next time you try anything funny, I'll tie your ass to a piano and throw you in.
That makes my pussy wet.
Jenna, you freak. You know what? I agree with that.
Yeah, she tried to kill him.
Just a nice attempted drowning for some revenge. That's fair.
Now Ada is pissed and she is determined to take him down. He heads inside, shaking with rage and also a little bit bricked up from having her body flailing against him underwater.
He's like, oh my god.
Jenna's not the only horny one.
Yeah. He runs into his father, who tells him that he is to take his wife somewhere nice tonight and consummate their marriage. He's appalled and goes to take a shower when he hears Ada come into their bedroom. He's amused that she's probably wet and cold, so he stays a little bit longer in the shower to make her suffer, but he is shocked when she just barrels into the shower butt-ass naked.
She said, you got room for two?
She elbows past me to grab the shampoo. Her bare arms grazes my stomach, and I become acutely aware that we haven't actually seen each other naked before now. I'm used to girls who keep their bodies torturously slim by any means necessary. Diet, pills, Pilates, and even surgical intervention. Ada obviously doesn't bother with any of that. From what I've seen, she eats and drinks whatever she likes, and she probably hasn't seen a running shoe in years. As a result, she's curvy, with a soft stomach and a big ass. But I have to admit, her figure is pretty fucking sexy.
That bitch hasn't ran, loves to stuff her face, she drinks.
He's like, she's a little fat, but it's okay.
No, I will say this book has illustrations throughout it, and she looks pretty cute.
Yeah.
It's like a picture book.
Oh, fine.
Now he's thinking about what it would be like to grab a handful of her while she rides him. Then he checks out her perfect boobies and freshly waxed puss. She notices that he's got a little chub going on, and he asks if she likes what she sees, and she says, fuck no. And he's like, well, we aren't technically married until we seal the deal. He steps toward her, grabs a chunk of her hair, pulls her hair back, and smashes a kiss down onto her.
At first, she's stiff and unyielding, not wanting to respond to me, but as my thigh grinds against her bare little cunt, ah! And as I take her breasts in my hands, she gasps and her lips part, allowing me to slide my tongue inside her mouth. Now she's pressing back on me, grinding her pussy against my leg. She's kissing me back, deep enough that I can taste the lingering tang of chlorine on her lips. I slide my hand down her belly, all the way down to her bald pussy. I rub my fingers over the perfectly smooth lips, loving how bare and exposed she is. Then I part her folds and find the tiny nub of her clit, swollen from the heat of the shower. Her bald pussy.
Courtesy of him.
Yeah.
He slides a finger inside of her and she moans and he's like, yeah, this girl's a horny little slut. She's about to come. And then he abruptly stops.
Don't stop, she gasps, opening her eyes and glaring at me. If you want to come, then suck my cock first, I demand. She looks down at my cock so hard that it juts straight out from my body. Fuck no, she says. I'll just do it myself. Oh, like she'll diddle her bean herself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She starts to touch herself, but he grabs her hand and tells her to suck his dick or he's not letting her come. He pushes down on her shoulders and she reluctantly sinks down to her knees and sucks the life out of his dick.
I'm sure that was a mean blowy.
Just as he's about to finish, she stands up and she's like, okay, that's it. She stands up and lines herself up on him, sliding down onto his dick. She starts to ride him and it's really, really good. Surprisingly good.
She loves the way I'm fucking her. With that thought, I explode inside of her. I mean, I really explode. The orgasm is like an atom bomb, hitting me without warning. My balls are ground zero, and the shockwave rockets through every last neuron, all the way out to the tips of my fingers and toes. Oh my god, chill. So dramatic.
They step away from each other, and he tells her he's glad to see she's not completely awful at sex, and she says she wishes she could say the same.
Oh, bitch.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Obviously, she's lying. Some time passes and they haven't slept together again. Ada hangs out with Nessa more than she does her own husband. One day, he corners her in the kitchen and tells her they have a fundraiser tonight at 7, and she's like, sorry, I'm busy. I have a Lord of the Rings marathon.
Me too.
Ooh, fun.
But he's not having it, and he tells her to be ready. She heads to the theater room to start the Fellowship of the Ring, and she starts to think about how much she misses home. When the movie's over, she heads to her room and sees a dress that Callum set out for her. She tells him she's not wearing that and gets in the shower, but when she gets out, he's completely cleared out every single article of her clothing aside from the dress.
Oh my god.
So she begrudgingly puts the dress on.
Where did you hide my underwear? I demand. I feel Callum's fingers pause at the top of the zipper. You don't need any underwear, he says. That fucker, he's getting off on this. I knew it. Sure enough, when I turn around, there's a hungry look on his face, like he wants to rip the dress right off me again. But he won't do that. He's gonna savor watching me walk around in it all night, knowing that he's making me do it, knowing that I'm not wearing any panties underneath. I don't know if it's the lack of underwear or something else, but I can feel an uncomfortable wetness between my legs. Every step I take in that tight dress is making my pussy lips rub together. I'm warm and throbbing, and I keep thinking about that look of arousal on Callum's face. How stern he was when he ordered me to put on the dress. What the fuck is happening to me? You like him. And are you kidding? Uncomfortable wetness between your legs? Girl, you are wet.
They get to the party and Callum is super annoyed when Oliver is there and immediately starts to flirt with Ada. But soon after that, Callum notices a Polish mobster there named Zajac, and he's pissed because he does not want to be associated with this slimy man. He goes up to him and tries to get him to leave, but once Zajac sees Ada, he says he's disappointed to hear she married Callum when he has two perfectly good sons she could have been with instead. This pisses Callum off, but he's just like, what do you want? Zajac says he wants the Chicago Transit property, and Callum says no dice. Zajac starts to get aggressive, and Callum is shocked when Ada jumps in to defend him, saying that Callum is not to be underestimated. The party continues, and when Callum is talking business with his dad, he sees Oliver skulking around Ada, and he has had it. He walks up to them and overhears Oliver begging her to take him back, and when she refuses, he tries to get physical with her.
Oliver presses her up against the railing, trying to shove his hand up her skirt. I know for a fact she doesn't have any panties on because I dressed her myself. The thought of Oliver touching her bare pussy lips is what finally makes me snap.
I said, that's my pussy. Those are my pussy lips.
Callum sees red and just starts wailing on Oliver. The whole party is staring, and when Oliver tries to deny touching Ada, Callum's father punches him right in the face. And Callum says, I'm gonna take my wife home now.
Yeah.
In the limo, Callum looks like a crazed man and demands to know if Ada loved Oliver.
What do you care? I ask. What does it matter? I need to know. Did you like how he touched you? How he fucked you? Without seeming to realize it, he's put his hand on my bare thigh. His fingers slide upward under the stiff beaded skirt of the dress he made me wear. I slap his hand away, shoving him in the chest for good measure. Maybe I did, I say. Who fucks you better, me or him? Callum demands. His hand is on my thigh again, and his other hand reaches for the back of my neck, trying to pull me closer. He's pressing me back against the seat, climbing on top of me. This time I slap him across the face, hard enough to split his lip.
This just eggs him on, and now he looks like he wants to ravage her. He kisses her wildly, and she kisses him back. She rips off his shirt, and he pulls out a pocket knife, slicing her dress right off.
Ooh, a man with a knife.
Callum takes 1 second to devour my body with his eyes. Then he unbuttons his trouser, letting his cock spring free. I'd never admit it to him, but Callum has a gorgeous cock. I'd never seen anything quite like it. The deep cuts of his Adonis belt lead directly to the shaft, which is too thick for me to close my hand around. That's a big dick. His skin is pale and creamy, and his cock is almost exactly the same color, with just a hint of pink on the head. He pulls me down on top of him, so I'm straddling his lap. His cock stands up between us, reaching almost all the way up to my belly button. I slide my pussy lips back and forth along the shaft, moistening it. Then I lower myself down on the fat head, letting it slip inside of me. Callum leans his head back against the seat, letting out a deep, guttural moan as my pussy swallows up his cock.
I just thought that was a very detailed description of a penis.
It was very detailed. Pale, light pink, fat.
They're fucking like animals as the limo drives down the road. She asks him if he wants her, and he says, "No, I need you." She comes harder than she ever has, and then he tells her she is his, and he'll kill anyone who touches her. She comes even harder as he blows his load inside of her.
Oh.
Yeah.
They get home, and they fuck all over again. The next morning, Callum has to meet with Oliver's dad, who had previously donated $50,000 to Callum's campaign and is now pissed about last night. He demands the Chicago Transit Authority property to make up for it, which, if you recall, is the same property that Zajac wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But Callum's like, no, and I'm pretty sure he just made an enemy. Meanwhile, Ada heads over to her family home to spend some quality time with her father and brothers because today is the anniversary of her mother's death. They have some lunch and play some piano, and then she heads back to Callum's. When she walks in, she sees Callum talking to the bodyguard that broke her brother's leg, and she is livid, asking what the fuck he's doing here. He tells Callum to keep his bitch on a leash, so Ada grabs his gun and points it at him as he calls her a lippy cunt.
A lippy cunt? I love that.
She goes to shoot him in the leg for karma, but Callum pushes her and winds up getting grazed, but he tells his bodyguard not to ever speak to his wife like that again, or he'll empty a clip into him himself.
Yeah,
he's starting to kind of like his wife. He sends his bodyguard home and drags Ada upstairs, and she thinks he's about to lay into her, but he just crashes a kiss down onto her instead. He takes his tie off, gags her, and then puts her over his knee to give her some spankings. It's getting her super pissed and also super soaked. And then he plunges 2 fingers into her, and he can tell just how much she likes it. He throws her on the bed and starts to fuck her crazy style as he tells her from now on, she will be a good, obedient wife, and then they both come.
I love love.
Oh, love.
When they're done, she gets a phone call from Dante telling her that somebody set fire to some equipment at a tower site, and it's like $2 million in damages, and Callum tells her he's going with her to check it out. When they get there, they see Zajac's calling card, a boar head, so he's behind the arson.
Bitch.
Then an SUV drives by and does a little drive-by on them. Everybody dives to protect Ada, but nobody's injured. Callum says if he pulls any more shit like this again, he will kill the man himself. The next day, Ada goes to class, which she's in school, which was like, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she doesn't like take any of her college courses seriously. She's just like doing ones that sound fun.
Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah. So she's in class while Callum and her brothers try to get a handle on the Zajac situation. He texts her telling her they found the shooter, and then Oliver walks up to her. Remember, her ex.
Yeah, ew, what are you doing here?
He tells her they need to talk and tells her how hurt he was that she got married and he wants her back, but she tells him to quit stalking her because her husband is the jealous type. And he's like, I know you don't love him, so why are you with him? And she says their family's made an arrangement. And he's like, oh, like some mafia shit. I knew his family was part of the mob. Because to the public, they're just like a political family, but they've got some ties and some shady shit. He says that he knows she still wants him and he plants a nasty wet kiss on her.
She doesn't want you, Oliver.
She pushes him off of her and goes to get back to the car waiting for her, where the bodyguard is just walking up saying he was taking a leak. Callum texts her and tells her to meet him in the library when she gets home. She does, and he tells her they're going to flush out Zajac's casino tonight if she wants to come, and she says, hell yeah, I do. And she loves that he's, like, including her in this stuff, in their little heists.
Yeah, it's very cutesy.
Then he tells her about the watch. It was his grandfather's, and he loved his grandfather very much, and she finally apologizes to him for throwing it in the water.
As she should.
Yeah, that was kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
They track all the shooters from the previous night to a car shop run by Zajac. As soon as Dante and Nero walk in, the guy recognizes them and knows he's in trouble, and he tries to run. Unfortunately, he stands no chance and gives them the phone that he uses to communicate with Zajac and possible locations where he could be located at. He tells them that he might be with his girl that he's seeing, and she works at a strip club called The Pole, but that's all he knows. Nero stabs him and then they leave.
Like he kills him or just like a little stab?
Murks him.
Yeah.
Leave no witnesses.
Fair enough.
Once they're home, they make the plan to go find Zajac later, and Jack steals Callum away for a moment to let him know that he saw Ada and Oliver at school, and they kissed
that dick.
So he wasn't tinkling, he was spying.
Mm.
Callum is furious and goes to find her. He doesn't say anything, though, just that they should eat before they leave tonight. And she can tell something's wrong, but he doesn't say anything else. He doesn't know how to bring it up because he wants her to bring it up.
I mean, she should.
Her brothers arrive to pick them up, and it's go time. Callum and Ada will talk to a friend that she knows who's a dancer with Zajac's girlfriend. The brothers and Jack will go to Zajac's casino and cause some chaos there. Once they arrive at the club, he admits that he's actually never been to the pool before.
The interior feels like a gothic dollhouse. Plush booths, botanical wallpaper, ornate mirrors. The waitresses are dressed up in strappy leather harnesses, some with leather animal ears and matching fur tails, bunnies, foxes, and cats mostly.
Oh. I'd go there. That sounds cool as fuck.
They get their drinks and wait for her friend Jada to come over, and they watch the show. Jada finally gives them some real answers. Yes, the stripper and Zajac are dating. Callum slips her some cash, and she reveals where the dancer, Francie, lives, including the fact that Zajac goes there on Tuesday nights after her shift. Jada gets them a second drink, saying it's on the house, but just as Ada's about to drink it, something looks off with the drink. She goes to tell Callum, don't drink it, but it's a little too late. After a couple minutes, he's clearly been roofied, and Jada is smiling from the back of the bar.
What a cunt.
And in her head, she's like, the fucking Irish. Because, like, he sees the drink, and he's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ada half carries him out when two bouncers approach her to block her exit. She looks behind her and notices two more approach. She has no time to call her brothers, so she fake passes out like she's also drugged. Callum wakes tied up in a warehouse somewhere without Ada. He tests his restraints as the butcher, which is what they call Zajac, walks in. He goes to a table of knives next to Callum, and Callum asks what he wants because this is clearly not about a piece of property. He tells Callum it's because the Gallows and the Griffins don't respect him. They kill his men, take his money, don't offer their daughters up for marriage alliances at all. As if you're entitled to that.
He's like, give me a daughter.
I just wanted one.
Zajac cuts Callum's jacket and shirt off and then starts giving him small cuts all over his body. Zajac tells him that it looks like your appendix is still there. I'm going to just do a little quick surgery for you. Get some cash out of this.
What? There's no cash in an appendix.
If he can keep it intact, black market.
You can't sell an appendix. Nobody needs an appendix.
Someone out there would buy an appendix.
I bet some freak out there.
Yeah, what about the guy from Morsel? I bet he would buy one.
Yeah, he'd eat that shit up.
I thought you were talking about, like, organ donation. I was like,
no, no, no. Who am I to judge what one does with the sold black market appendix, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
True.
Zajac also wants the Gallows to pay him back for what they just did to his casino. So remember, while they were at the strip club, the brothers and Jack were at the casino. casino causing chaos. He also demands that Callum will sell him the transit property at a heavy discount, and he's going to provide Zajac a government position. As if Callum can just be like, this man's a new mayor.
Yeah.
And then Zajac slowly proceeds to stick him with the knife to try to cut his appendix out.
Oh my God.
Callum begs him to stop for just a moment, and then a smoking bottle is launched into the room. So there's just multiple Molotov cocktails just flying into the room. Then Zajac is shot in the shoulder. They're shouting, running, stuff is getting smashed outside of the building, but no one's actually coming in the room. After agonizing minutes, Zajac goes to investigate what the fuck is actually going on. And when he leaves, a figure comes running in barefoot and presses a knife into Callum's hand. It's Ada, and she tells him that she's too short to cut his arms out of the ropes. So she hands him the knife and is like, cut yourself out.
Yeah.
She's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
He asks where everyone else is, and she's like, I don't know. I'm the only one here. I just figured I'd try to help you.
And she's like, I'm causing a scene out here.
He's finally free, and Zajac's men come back. The two slowly back up until they reach a grate in the floor. Callum slowly undoes it with his foot as the men tell him to stay put. He whispers for Ada to hold her breath, grabs her, and they fall into a hole into freezing water.
Oh my God.
The current drags them downriver, and once they're out of the water, she fills them in on how they got to this position and how she saved him. So she fake passes out, gets tied up into a spare laundry supply closet. The guard leaves her alone. She like climbs into the vent, crawls through the air vents to find him, and then like builds like all the Molotov cocktails.
I would still be sitting in that closet being like, oh my God,
I wish there was something I could do.
I know.
And she's having like the best day of her life. Like she's like literally like giddy with joy as she's like telling him what she was doing.
Yeah, she's like, you should have seen me.
She's like, I was on fire tonight. I was locked in.
Yeah.
He kisses her and then tells her that she should have just left him and ran, but they agree that they would never leave each other.
Ah, that's right. That's right.
It's 2 days later. It's the election, and Callum is all patched up from his almost appendectomy. She has a cast from two broken fingers because when they put her in the trunk of the car, the guy like slammed her hand on accident in it, and she didn't even break character.
Good for her. I'd be screaming.
He gets a call. He's won, and he is the new alderman. He thanks her for all of her help and offers her a job when she's graduated from college. We learn that Dante and Nero got $500,000 from the Zajac casino ordeal, and they're still waiting for him to take his revenge. They want to go out to drinks to celebrate with Callum's family for him winning, and on their way there, he tells her he has enough time to do something really quick. He flips the skirt of her sundress and starts the first course of his dinner.
Oh, bon appetit.
He's so fucking good at this. He looks so cold and stiff, but actually his hands and mouth are like warm butter. He can tell exactly how hard to lick and suck, so it's maximum stimulation without tipping over into too much. Hell yeah.
That's a man.
That is a man.
He grabs her breasts as he fingers her and eats her out, and she explodes right as they park at the restaurant. So he's like, perfect timing. Let's go, honey. Dinner goes great, and it's the first time she feels like she belongs in this family and that she might actually be falling in love with Callum. Callum still has not had a chance to talk to Ada about Oliver, and he isn't sure how he knows something more is going on, but it's a gut feeling. And when she checks her phone at dinner, he tries to ask who it is, and she's like, it's my brother.
Oh, girl.
The next afternoon, he asks her to run an errand with him, but she's already hopping in Nessa's Jeep and being vague about running a lot of errands today.
What are you doing?
He's burning with jealousy and thinks that she is definitely going to meet Oliver. He calls Jack and tells him to drop what he's doing, track Nessa's Jeep and Ada, and send him updates and to not let her out of his sight. 40 minutes later, he gets a text saying the Jeep is at Jackson Park, but no sight of Ada. Callum asks his dad when he learned to love his mom since they were in an arranged marriage, and his dad tells him that love comes later because trust is the most important. Jack calls and says that he saw Ada with the dark-haired man. She received a black box and left. The Jeep is there, but no sign of her. As Jack approaches the Jeep, there's one woman's shoe next to it. No Ada.
what is going on?
Callum panics and tells him to stay fucking put because he will be there as soon as he can. He tries to call her over and over and gets no answer, and he knows in his gut something's happened, and he thinks that it's the revenge from Zajac.
Yeah.
Ada is meeting with a man named Jeremy Parker. He tells her it took him 3 days to find this as he slides the black box to her. She thanks him and leaves high on cloud nine over this. As she approaches the Jeep, she sees a very familiar car. She doesn't see anyone in the car, but goes to open the Jeep door and gets something hard and sharp into her ribs. He tells her that she's coming with him and to get in the trunk. She doesn't see anyone around, so she complies, but kicks off a sneaker before climbing in.
Because she's a smart queen. That is so smart.
It's been 1 hour since Jack lost sight of Ada, and it's definitely her shoe that he found. Nero and Dante arrive, and Callum tells them what he knows. He tells them it's crazy, but he thinks Oliver is the one who took her, not Zajac.
Wow.
They split up. The brothers go to search places where Zajac might be, while Callum goes to Oliver's old beach house that his dad just sold. Oliver did take Ada, and she's wondering where the fuck they're going, because remember, she's in the trunk of the car. They park, and he gets her out of the trunk, and he brought her to his family cabin that he always talked about. He hands her her purse and asks what she thinks of it. And she's like, it's great. It's just like you described. Because he's like stoked that she's getting to see this house.
He's delusional.
Yeah. This pleases him, but she makes a run for it. She's not fast enough as he tackles her to the ground and she gets the wind knocked from her lungs. He breaks her phone, tosses it in the water, and hauls her inside. He lets her use the restroom while he watches to make sure there's no funny business. And when she's done, he demands that she remove her engagement ring. She feels really awful about handing it over, but doesn't want to anger him further. And she has to watch as he smashes it with a hammer.
Oh.
She hates the ring, but is like attached to it because of Callum. She's like, yeah. If I take this off, it's like a betrayal to him.
That's her man.
She wonders where Oliver lost his fucking marbles because he seemed very normal when they first started dating. He tries to kiss her again and she shoves him away, and now he's mad. But he also lets her know that he took her away for them to be together, and she's not even grateful.
That bitch.
She knows that she should play along, but again, she feels like even if she tried to play along, it's too much of a betrayal to Callum. And so she tells Oliver that she does not love him.
She's like, I actually have the ick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This infuriates him, and he backhands her across the face when she admits that she loves Callum. He wants her to be like, I don't love Callum. I love you, Oliver. And she's like, nah.
No.
He has like a whole murder go bag. He pulls rope out of it, ties her up, gags her, and tells her if he can't make her belong to him, then she will not belong to anyone else.
Oh, what a fucking crazy little nut.
She headbutts him and he hits her hard enough to knock her out. Callum doesn't know the exact address of Oliver's cabin, but he knows the general area of where to go. He goes off of his instinct and turns down a hidden driveway, which ends up being the correct move because Oliver's Maserati is parked right out front with the trunk wide open.
What an idiot.
Callum smells smoke and can barely see the house due to it being dark, but he draws his gun, texts Ada's brothers, and moves to the back of the house. He opens the door and black smoke pours out. The kitchen is completely on fire. He covers his mouth and goes to climb the steps when Oliver charges him, knocking him sideways so his grip is no longer on the gun, and he starts to get beat up. Cal finally understands what's happening because it kind of confused him for a moment and fights back, demanding to know where Ada is. He shakes Oliver off, scrambles up the stairs, calling for her. When he finds her in one of the rooms, she's alive and tied up, but a little dazed. He goes to pick her up, but Oliver appears in the doorway saying, "No one's leaving the house."
We're all dying. Me too.
They get into another tussle when Ada runs to the window and breaks her cast off of her arm on the window so she can untie her wrists because she has her cast on. So he tied her like this because he's like, she can't get it over the cast. But ow.
Yeah, that would hurt so bad.
Once free, she barely has enough time to grab Callum's gun when the floor breaks beneath them, sending Oliver tumbling down into the flames. They run to the opposite side of the house, climb out of the window, and once they're safely on the ground, she grabs her purse, they get in his car, and he can't wait another moment before he kisses her.
She's like, wait, my purse! And like turns back and grabs it.
They call her brothers on the way back. Dante's been shot and they're at the hospital, but Dante also killed Zajac. And Callum's like, are you sure? And Nero's like, well, he cut his head off. So, I mean,
oh my God,
he's probably dead.
She asks what hospital they're at because her and her husband need to join. They get checked out, patched up, they're sent home, and Callum lets his dad know that they're going to be looking for their own apartment this week. Once they're home, they clean up and she wants to take care of her mans.
I take his cock in my mouth, gently sucking on the head. His cock fills to its fullest extent, so hard that the skin is stretched tight. I run my tongue up and down its length in long, smooth strokes, and then in light, teasing flicks. Then I take as much as I can in my mouth again and try to force the head backward, down into my throat. It's damn hard dealing with a cock that size. I'm developing a new respect for porn stars. How on earth do they get the whole thing in there, all the way down to the base? I'd have to be a bloody sword swallower.
You just gotta get it down there. You can do it.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Before he could finish, though, he stops her and puts her on the bed and returns the favor while they do some 69. She stops him before she can finish and climbs on top of him and starts to ride his dick. Once she finishes, she climbs off and puts his dick back in her mouth.
I put his cock back in my mouth, tasting myself on his skin. It's a warm, musky, mildly sweet taste that blends well with the scent of his skin and the slight saltiness of the clear fluid leaking from the head of his cock. I want more. I start sucking him off, even more enthusiastically than before. My lips are swollen and sensitive from my climax. I feel every little ridge and vein of his cock against my tongue. I can feel his pulse and how his cock tenses and throbs as he gets closer and closer to the edge. Gripping the base of his cock, I suck hard on the head, tipping him over. Oh Jesus, Ada, he cries out as he explodes into my mouth. His cum is thick and slippery and warm. I love how it tastes, mixed with my own wetness. We're meant to be together, him and I, salty and sweet.
Cute.
Like a little chocolate-covered pretzel.
Yeah. The next day, they go apartment hunting. They find the perfect one, and then he takes her to pick out her own wedding ring. When she finds her ring, he slips it on her finger, and they go have lunch so she can give him his present. She slides a black box over to him, and he lifts the lid off of it to find his grandfather's watch. He doesn't believe it's the same one. He thinks it's an exact replica, but she says that she paid someone to find it at the bottom of the lake and restore it for him. He's in awe of what his wife would do for him, and they tell each other, I love you. The end.
Wow. I loved that one.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I give it 4.5.
Stunning.
Loved it.
Do you think Callum is sexy?
I do.
And would you trade places with Ada?
Yeah, if I was like as badass as her, sure. Why not?
She is very badass.
She is.
Yeah. Well, next week we're telling Riley all about The Deal by Elle Kennedy, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Okay, a hockey romance? It's got a girl and a guy. The guy's holding her. They're in front of a hockey net. I think they're going to be like in college and she's going to be another sports star. Maybe like track. I don't know. Maybe swim. She's going to be doing something. And then he's a hockey star and she at first is not going to like him because he's like the big bad hockey star. He is the love interest of every lady on that campus. But she has to tutor him or something because she's like also very smart. And so she tutors him and then they start just, you know, fall in love. How'd I do?
Goddamn, that was so good.
Yeah, you were really good.
Wait, really?
Yeah, you got like one teeny tiny little thing wrong, but the rest I was like, oh my God.
Oh my
Did you God. Read this?
No. No.
All right, well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom, and we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.